time to get ready.
Of course. Ready for what?
It's the big interview. Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
Get ready to feel the thunder.
Long chats with big brains meant to give you a better view of the big picture.
As far as brains go, I got the lion's share.
As money life goes big time.
Big reason for this success is you.
Literally.
Welcome to the second big interview of the day here on Money Life, and I'm very pleased to be joined right now by Mary Ellen Stanek. She is the Chief Investment Officer at Baird Advisors and the President of the Baird Funds. If you want more information on the firm, Baird Advisors, that's rwbaird.com. On the funds, that's bairdfunds.com, and they're on Twitter at rwbaird. Mary Ellen Stanek, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Great to be back.
So, we are living in times that, as a bond fund manager and a bond expert, have got to be among the most interesting, you know, that we've seen in decades, because we now have the rising rate environment that everybody was talking about. But we're in an environment where the bond market seems to be saying one thing about what it expects to happen, and the stock market seems to be saying and doing something else. So how confusing are those mixed messages? And as a bond fund side, when you're on the bond fund side of it, do you ignore completely how the stock side is responding?
Well, there's a lot in that question, Chuck, so let's unpack it a little bit. We are getting, as you'd suggest, the Federal Reserve Board is taking steps to normalize interest rates, and so what they are effectively doing is raising short-term interest rates and flattening the yield curve by doing that, coming off the zero interest rate policy that they had in place since really the end of 2008, right after in the midst of the financial crisis. So they are trying to normalize short rates. What is ironic is the short interest rates have risen, but intermediate to long rates have actually fallen this year, whereby the 10-year Treasury is year-to-date down 29 basis points, the 30-year Treasury down 34 basis points. So we are getting actually long-term rates falling a bit in here while the Fed is navigating and moving the short interest rates up. So interesting divergence of patterns. So you can't just say we're getting this across the board rise in interest rates. You're right. The bond market is signaling a number of things, and we've got some things we've never seen before. One is all the quantitative easing that has happened both here in the United States but with other central banks throughout the world. And so we've never seen that before, and we've never seen those central banks expand their own balance sheets as extraordinarily as they have. How they begin to unwind that and normalize those balance sheets will be impactful and important to the markets. There are a lot of structural headwinds with the economy, and interest rates are driven by many fundamental things. The rate of inflation, for one, and actually inflation has remained under control. And in fact, some commodity prices are beginning to turn back down. And you're seeing the headline CPI, PPI numbers starting to not show as much increase or growth there. So inflation looks to remain under control. The economy is better, and we are seeing more optimism and a response to a potential pro-growth, more pro-business agenda as a result of the elections. But there's a long way to go before we see any kind of enactment in terms of tax reform, both corporate and personal, as well as regulatory reform. So we believe the stock market is trading on more of that optimism and expectations that things will happen and actually be positive for the economy and positive for investors, where the bond market seems to be signaling there's still a lot of structural headwinds out there. And meanwhile, investors are remaining relatively cautious and a little more barbelled in how they're positioning and maintaining a fair amount in cash still. And continuing, when you look at mutual fund flow patterns, continuing very positive inflows into bond mutual funds and ETFs right now. So we think the consumer and investors are signaling that While things are better, they remain cautious and probably cautiously optimistic. But the fundamentals that support the bond market, not the least of which are global interest rates, and we might talk about that for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Our interest rates are, we believe and we think they're low nominally relative to our own history. But when you put our current interest rates into a global context, we have some of the highest nominal interest rates throughout the world. And so we continue to see capital flowing in to our bond market and creating, you know, additional demand there. So it is confusing for investors because there's a lot of things that we've structurally not experienced before. And the two markets in particular, stocks versus bonds, we believe the stock market is discounting an expectation for higher growth and particularly higher net after-tax returns for investors.
How long can we have sort of that dichotomy without one side or the other sort of winning the day? How because right now, when I talk to a bond fund manager, they typically go, no, the bond side sees this the right way. And when I talk to a stock fund manager, they're like, no, the stock fund side sees this the right way. How long can we go?
Well, you can go. You can see trends last longer than you think they could and should, and go farther than you think. And so this divergence between the two, it's, as you know, we aren't big believers in short-term market timing. So difficult to ring the bell and say, hey, I think this is the day or this is when we're going to see it. You're right, though, the more the two markets diverge from one another and the underpinnings behind each are in conflict, at some point there is some kind of a correction. And in our minds, this higher growth, the expectation for higher growth, faster growth, both in real earnings as well as net after-tax returns to investors, there's still a lot that needs to be resolved before we see enactment. And so we think expectations may be out ahead of reality. And so we believe investors should proceed cautiously. There is a lot of liquidity out in the system. There is a belief that as interest rates have come down nominally, particularly on intermediate and longer end assets, that money is continuing to go into equities in search of a home, if you will, and at the margin continuing to keep equity valuations high. Structurally, there are a lot of interesting secular changes that you need to sort through. There are really clear potential winners,
mm-hmm.
but how very big sectors of the economy go through and experience massive change, whether it be autos or retail. Retail's one, you know, just in the last week with the announcement of Amazon buying Whole Foods, you see this trend where you are seeing very rapid change and destruction, if you will, of old business models. And in there, when you sift through it, there can be the winners. But in the meantime, there's significant compression, both in terms of taking out the middleman, taking out cost structure, and also potentially expense and jobs. So there can be some very significant dislocations. And we're not completely sure that all of that has, while in the short and intermediate term, probably keeps inflation more in check because there is this downward pressure on prices and on expense structures. But in the long run, may be counterproductive, particularly to job creation and certainly different kinds of jobs and investment in capital expenditures and the substitution of technology for labor. So very significant changes underway, which adds to the complexity and the potential disruption that could happen with sectors in the individual significant sectors of the economy and rolling it together economically overall. And then as you calibrate that into what's that mean for investors. So we come back to say, you know, market environments are never easy, but let's control what we can control here. The cost to invest, our turnover rates, how we deliver to our investors a net after-tax return, whether they be a taxable bond investor or a tax-exempt bond investor. How do we make sure that at this point in the cycle, and we are later in the cycle, we think that we'll use our baseball analogies again because we're back in baseball season, but we do believe we are in the later innings. This point in the game, though, it can be very exciting, and these lighter innings can last a long time, so we want to hang around for the whole game. But we need to be mindful of what the opportunity set does look like, what kind of price we're paying, whether it be for a corporate bond or a mortgage-backed or a commercial mortgage-backed security, and are we being paid to take the risk, and, you know, if so, where on the yield curve and what kind of position size. So control what you can control. We still think there's opportunity. We like our positioning. We like how our products are priced, and we believe continue to offer compelling value for our investors.
I would probably be shot by my audience if I had someone who specializes on the bond side and I did not ask for their expectations of what the Fed's going to do for the remainder of the year.
Well, for the Fed, I think it's a coin toss whether we see another quarter of 25 basis point rise in the funds rate. But the more important thing to really pay a lot of attention to is around their discussion and announcements about what they are going to do with their balance sheet. So what they do to start reducing their reinvestment of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. Right now, for example, on the mortgage side, they own about a third, just under a third of the mortgage market. So what they do when they've been continuing to reinvest principal and interest every month, what they do to start reducing that reinvestment and effectively backing away will have implications for market rates, for all market participants. So we think that is the more important issue to pay attention to and model. We do also think you add an additional drama on because whether Janet Yellen will or won't be, you know, renominated,
right,
and there are a number of Fed seats that are going to be up for appointment. And so not an optimal time with all this uncertainty, and we are in uncharted waters to change the captain of the ship and most of the crew. And I think that's what bond participants are going to need to juggle for the balance of this year and early next.
Well, Mary Ellen, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck.
Mary Ellen Stanek, everybody. She is the president of the Baird Funds, the chief investment officer at Baird Advisors. They're on Twitter at RWBaird. They're online at RWBaird.com. And the Baird Funds, for more information, are at BairdFunds.com. All right, we are just about done with the June 22nd edition of Money Life, but just about means we haven't crossed the finish line. We'll do that together if you stay through this message, so do it. We'll be right back.